We're holding table, round table of Amadeus, about a little more than half, about two-thirds of the way down the arm of the line, beginning to little bottom. Okay. We were in the middle of discussing. We had the machlokas of a mayor and, well, the Tanakhamer, a mayor, and Rav Elazar in our Mishnah. Do you need signature? Do signatures, a get without signatures, we said, is possible. But the initiative of Lot Tosher, but it's only possible. We're not gozer to make the child a mamzer. And then Rav Elazar said that even if there's no edim at all, you just did edim asira, then it's fine because edim asira kaki. We started discussing yesterday, is the halacha like Rav Elazar, and is that true only in Gittin or in general by Shtaris? So far we had Rav. Rav had said only by Gittin, Shmuel said also by Shtaris, and then we had the same machlokas in Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Yaakov Idiom and Rabbi Shimon Levi says only by Gittin, and Rabbi Yaneh says, I see the Reach HaGetin, meaning even the Chachamim hold does not even a Reach HaGetin it. When it's not signed, and then we had a similar discussion between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan. Rish Lakish had said the halacha is like him in Gittin. Rabbi Yechanan had said it points to Chacham and there's no Reach HaGetin. Sholach Leir of Abba Bar Zavda to Mori Bar Mar. So Rav Abba Bar Zavda back in Bavel sent a message to Mori Bar Mar, who was a Talmud of Rav Huna. Boy, my name is Rav Huna. Ask Rav Huna the question. Halacha Chorav Olaz Begitin or Ain Halacha? Is the halacha like him in Gittin, like Rav says, or not? By the time the message got to him, or by the time he had a chance to go and ask Rav Huna, Noch Nafshe did Rav Huna. Rav Huna passed away. Omale Rabba Zrei, the Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, told Mori Bar Mar when he asked the question, Hochi Omar Abba Meshmei the Rava, it's really supposed to be Meshmei the Rav, this is what my father, Rav Huna, said in the name of Rav, Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. And he continues, Rabbi Senu Havkin, Bidvar Halacha, our Rebbes were experts in matters of Halacha, Meshum Rabbeinu Omru, they said in the name of our Rebbe, again meaning Rav, they said Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. How do we see that? The Omar Pachoma Baguya Omar Rav, Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. So we have, first of all, Rav Huna reporting it, and second of all, we have Rav Chama Bar Guria, who was an expert in halacha. So they all agree that Rav said halacha kerav olaz begitin.
What's the halacha?
So that's the halacha, it's like him in Gittin. In practice, since in Gini Momenes, usually the halacha is like Shmuel, in this case, the halacha is in fact like Shmuel by other shtaris as well. The halacha is like Rav Elazar by other shtaris as well. As long as you have Edi Mesira, you don't need Edi Chsima. Ikadamri, another version of what Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, said, is he started off saying the same thing, that my father said in the name of Rab, the halacha of Rav Elazar, but then he continued, instead of Rabbi Seinu Habkin Bidbar Halacha, instead of all Rebbes who are expert in halacha, he continued, B'chavireinu Habkin Bidbar Halacha, our colleagues who are experts in halacha, B'talmidi Rabbeinu, and the Talmidim of our Rebbe, of Rav, Mishum Rabbeinu Amru, they said in the name of our Rebbe, of Rav, they said halacha of Rav Elazar Begitin. And where do we see that? The Amr of Chista, Amr of Chama Bar Guria, Amr Rav Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. Because Rav Chista, who was a colleague of Rav Huna, said that the halacha is, and he said, so therefore Chavireinu Akin Bidvar Halacha would still be Rav Chama Bar Guria. According to this, he would be, instead of Rabbi Seinu, he's Chavireinu, he's our colleague, and Tamidi Rabbeinu would be Rav Chista. Said Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. V'chein ki of the Ravin, Amr Rav Elazar, Amr Rav Halacha Kerav Olaz Begitin. So that's it. It's established that definitely in Gittin the halacha is like him. Again, the Gemara is not discussing as far as other stories except Shmuel's opinion, but the halacha is in fact like Shmuel. Mishnah says, Shnayim sheshochu shnei Gittin shoven, if two people sent with shluchim to Gittin that have the same names in them, then it's arvu, and then they got mixed up, we're not sure which one is supposed to go to which wife, the husband and wife names are both the same. Noisin shnei mozu l'shnei mozu, what you have to do is you give both Gittin to both women. You give both Gittin to the first one, and that way, no matter what, she's received her right one. Then you take them both from her and give them both to the second one. Same thing.
They
bear the same name. Yeah. And actually, Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta a question, if you have two people in the same city who have the same name, they anyway can't divorce like that, because how do you know to begin with? How is there a determinant in the get who it was written for? So Tosfos gives there the explanation that actually what we're talking about, we learned there, that what you do is if you have two people where they and their wives have the same names, what you do is you go back a generation, you write the third generation, or if one's a Kohen and then the other one's not, you write that or whatever. So you could have, for example, the Shluchim are aware of the names, but they're not familiar with, let's say, the third generation or whatever. So you do have two Gittin, in other words, they're not identical.
Usually you put only two generations.
Normally you'd write Yosef and Shimon. But if you have two Yosef and Shimon divorcing two Rachel Vas Lavan, then you put three generations. But let's say you might have the Shluchim know that Yosef and Shimon is divorcing his wife Rachel Vas Lavan. They don't know, though, if they come to town, they find the two of them. They don't realize that they can see him. They get the third generation backwritten, but they don't know which one is which.
If
the Beis Din doesn't, if the local Beis Din doesn't know, whatever. I mean, there you could have. Yeah. Lefichach, therefore, because you need to give both of them in order to be valid yet, Ovad Echaman, if one of them gets lost, Harei Hasheni Batel, then the other one is Batel, because you don't know whether it belongs to the right woman or not. Whether it's Batel, I mean, does it actually mean if you were to give only one of them to one of the women, would it be Batel in the sense it's not even a valid get at all, or is it just should be Sofik Megurash? That's the Machloekes among the Rishonim.
Would the husband and wife know the three generations?
Again, the husband's not here. He sent it through a shliach. The shliach doesn't know.
But he should have told the shliach to go and divorce.
Should have. He didn't.
You know?
Okay. He didn't. Another case. Chamisha shekostu klal b'secha get. If you have five people who are all divorcing their wives, they all wrote generally in the get. They wrote one get for all five couples. Ish pliny megarish pliny. So pliny. Reuben is divorcing Rachel. Shimon is divorcing Leah, etc. How exactly it's laid out? We're going to talk on the Gemara a couple of possibilities. Edom Milamata, and then you have Edom at the bottom of this whole thing, Kulam Shadim, then all of these gittin are considered kosher. But you know some Khalachas Vachas, what you have to do is you give it in turn to each one of these women. We'll talk about in the Gemara what exactly the scenario is. On the other hand, how your chosen the Khalacha Vachas, but if you wrote a complete format of a get for each one, again we'll see in the Gemara what that means, Edom Milamata, and then the Edom are at the bottom of the whole thing, only the one with which the Edom are read, meaning only the last one, is kosher. On the face of it, what we mean, we'll talk about in the Gemara the details, Rabbi Machlokes, Rabbi Yechon, and Rish Lakish, what exactly it means, but on the face of it, Tofes, Lachalach HaDachad, means that you have one complete yet, then further down on the page you have a second one, then a third, then a fourth, etc., and then at the bottom you have signatures.
So the second, third, and fourth are not signed.
Oh, the first one's not signed either. So that's the thing. Only the fifth one, which has the signatures with it, is valid. But we're going to discuss in the Gemara if that's actually what the Mishnah means. With that said, also, I mean, the Rambam writes again that given that Edim Mesira Tarti, if you were to give over such a get in the presence of Edim Mesira, and you have the Edim Mesira are available to ask, then it would be kosher, even if it was the first, second, third, or fourth. Only if, let's say, for example, later on, you find that this get is, let's say, in possession of the third or fourth or whatever it is one, not the one who the Edom belong with it, and there's no Edom Mesira available, then it's Sofik Megurashes, because you don't know whether the Edom were signing on all five of them or just on the bottom one. What is Mantana? Which Tana is it that's saying that you can fix things up where the two Gittin got mixed up by giving both of them to each woman? I'm going to be a mid to like Rabbi Elazar. This seems to be not like Rabbi Elazar. The Ir of Elazar, given down the Edom Mesira character, Ir of Elazar just says that the Edom Mesira are the ones who make the get happen. Well, in that case, they don't know which one is the one that's actually accomplishing the divorce, so therefore there's no clear Nesina Lashma. Now, Rabbi Elazar, given that he doesn't require the get to be written Lashma, they don't know which one is the actual get. Like this, you have two Gittim with the same name. We're giving both of them to the woman Misafik, to the first woman and then to the second woman. We don't know which one, they don't actually know which one is the valid one. So there's no, on the face of it, there's no Lishma over here. If it was according to the mayor, no problem, because the mayor holds only the writing has to be Lishma. He says Edi Chassim Akhauti, rather, the writing, as far as he's concerned, is the signatures of the Edim. At the time they signed, at the time they signed the get, they knew which woman it was meant for. The fact that afterwards it got mixed up, big deal, he doesn't care about that. Rabbi Elazar, who's concerned about Edi Mesira, how would this Mishnah work for him? Abaya, I'm after the Tamer Rabbi Elazar. Abaya says, no, you could say the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Elazar as well. Ema devoid Rabbi Elazar k'siv l'shma. Granted, Rabbi Elazar requires, everybody agrees there has to be some kind of k'siv l'shma. He holds that the k'siv is the actual text of the get, the Torah for the get, not the signatures, because again, he said the signatures only need nitchik and olam. K'siv l'shma b'voi. He doesn't say that you need giving over l'shma. Yes, you need Edom Mesira, but the Edom Mesira don't have to know. They don't have to know that it's Lishma. They just see that a get was given to plainness, and they can rely on the fact that it was written like a Lishma.
So who requires that Edom Mesira has to be Lishma.
Well, that's what Rabbi Yumi is arguing. That we need that. That if Edom is Siddur Karati, it means they have to know that they have to know what's going on over here. Abaye is saying they're not. Chamishish Kofu Klal Chulu. So now we have the case of the Mishnah where you have five people wrote one combined get. So the Mishnah distinguished between two cases, one where they were a klal and one where they were a klal, and then the Edom signed at the bottom, and the other one is where you wrote a tofus for each one. Hechi dami klal, hechi dami tofus. What does it mean a klal? What does it mean a tofus? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zman echa b'kula, and if you have one date at the top for all of them, zero klal, then that's what it means, klal. So you have one date at the top, and then within the get itself, you have that there's a separate declaration for each one. Each one, there's a thing written that I'm divorcing my wife, plainness, etc. Zman mechalach v'achad zeru tofus. If you have a separate date on each one, and we don't mean necessarily, the Gemara is going to say later, we don't mean separate dates as in separate calendar dates, because that wouldn't work. You have to have the Edom have to sign the get on the same day as dated. We looked at that earlier in the Masechta. We mean that the same date is repeated for each one. All five of them were written on the same day, but the date is repeated for each one.
As opposed to the previous case,
where you have one date and then one, and then all the getting written beneath it. Yeah.
Here we have
zero tofus. So that would be considered tofus. That's when you have one date written at the top for all of them. When you have the date repeated for each one of them, that's tofus. Meaning that what the Mishnah said, that if you have a tofus for each one, then only the ones that the Edom are read together with, only the get that the Edom immediately follow is the kosher, is the one that's for sure kosher. The other ones, according to the Rambam, you need Edom Mesira, or with the other, if you don't have Edom Mesira, she might be Sufik Migurashas.
All the ones are extra, except which one, the first one?
All the ones, in the case where you have a tofus for each one, the Mishnah is telling us only the bottom one, the one which the Edom immediately follow, is the one that there's no question is valid. The other ones, you have the other ones you're not sure about or questionable. Did the Edom mean to sign on all five of them, or maybe only on that last one? Okay, the Rosh Lakish Amar. Are people zman echa b'kul nami habitofus? No, even if you just have one date at the top, that's also considered tofus. Because it's still what you're doing is you're mentioning within the get. You're mentioning for each one. You're saying that Reuven divorced Rachel and Shimon divorced Leah and so on and so forth. Ela hechidami klal. So what would be klal, where the Mishnah is saying the Edom are signed at the bottom, all of them are good, and you give it to each one in turn. Because for example, if he wrote onu plenu plenu gerashin nishatenu plenu plenu, if they write Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar have divorced their wives Rachel, Leah, Dina, etc. Maskifot of Abba Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara will take that up again later. How does that work? But for now, that's what we have. Okay. Maskifot of Abba Lo Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you say that what is considered klal, which the Mishnah says, you have signatures of Edom at the bottom, that's fine. It obviously refers to all of them. How does that work? Maybe, after all, when the Edom are signing, really, we should consider they're only signing on the last one. Because, yes, you only have one date at the top, but you still have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, on the face of it, you still have a complete nusach for each one. I plony ben plony, am divorcing my wife, plonyus bas plony, v'aret materis v'chodem. You have a date. Then you have Reuven is saying that it is saying to his wife Rachel, I'm divorcing you, etc. etc. Then comes, without a separate date, Shimon said the same thing to his etc. etc. Then the Levi and so on and so forth.
It's different pieces of class.
No, it's all one long class. Yeah. But still, shouldn't you have to be concerned that the Edom are only signing on the last one? Hello. Miloy Tanya, after all, isn't it similar to a case we learn in a Braisa? Edom chasurin al shilas sholem v'get posel. Suppose you have, at the bottom of the get, after you wrote the get, let's say, it says at the bottom of it, shalom b'shloim plenty. Give regard to plenty. And then the Edom sign. Does that work? The Braisa says no. It's possible. Maybe they're only signing on the Shilas Sholem. Maybe they're not signing on the Get. Then the Get has no signatures. So by the same token over here, if you have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the difference between Klal and Tofus is not whether you have a complete Nusach for each one, like Rosh Lakish is saying, but rather whether you have a separate date for each one. So then, that according to him, klal is when you have one date at the top and then a nusach for each one. But then wouldn't it be that the edim are only signing on the bottom one? The answer is, the Gemara says, lav itmar ala omer Rav Abahu. Don't you know that there was said on that Rav Abahu says, the didim yifarshu le v'nei de Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan personally explained to me that it's not so simple. The case in that braisa about shilas sholim is it depends what it says. Shalu posel, v'shalu kosher. Depends. Does it say the text of the get, and then afterwards it says, shalu v'shalim ploini, as like a new statement, then we have to be, then we say it's possible because maybe they only meant to sign on the shilas sholim. But if it says this shall do b'shalim plenty, then it means both. It means continuation. It means there's a get, as well as, by the way, say hello to plenty. I said, then the edim are signing on that as well. Hachinami, the same thing over here, in our scenario over here, in what Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Mishnah would have to be d'chtib be plenty u plenty u plenty. The case would be that it's not that each get begins with a vav. That you have the date at the top. On such and such a date, Reuven said to Rachel, Hareat Materis Lachol Adam, etc. Shimon said to Leah, Hareat Materis Lachol Adam, etc. So that would
be kosher.
Then it would be kosher the same way as the Shilas Shalom. Incidentally, also, I mean, when we learned the other day, when we learned yesterday about the Nusach of the, 2 days ago, when we learned about the Nusach of the Get, the Vedain Diyevi Lissiminai, where we said over there that we said over there that you have to be careful to write Igeres without a Yud so you don't misinterpret it. Tosfos had a different explanation, which I forgot to mention then. The vort is not how you spell the word Igeres. The vort is that you have to write the Igeres rather than Igeres in order to make it clear. Same thing as what we're saying over here. That's a continuation and not a new topic. Okay, next, the two little Yechanan damas man machalach of zerotrifus. Now let's continue discussing. Chunz of Yechanan. If you're saying that when each one has its own date, that's considered you have a trifus for each one, and that's when we're saying that, that when the Mishnah said that if you have a trifus for each one and you have edim at the bottom, then they're only we have to be concerned they may have only signed on the bottom one. Mayu Mishum Toifus. So then, according to Rav Yechanan, again, we don't know yet. I gave you a preview of it before, but we don't know yet that each that all the Gittin are written on the same date. At this point, we assume if each one has its own date. Hello. At this point, we should assume that each one could have been written on a different date. So then, but two, Rav Yechanan, Domas Ma Machalach of Zer Toifus. Mayu Yemishum Toifus. And what are you saying? The only reason, the last get is for sure kosher is because of the problem of Toifus, because you wrote a separate Nusach out for you wrote a complete separate thing, including the date for each one, and therefore maybe the Edom only belong to the bottom one. But typically, they have a Nechta V'yayim and Nechta V'layla. Don't you have a different problem? You have the problem that, for example, so what we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the second paragraph, that if the get is written by day and signed the following night or the next day or whatever, then it's possible, Madrabanan, because of Shema Yechata, Baka Chosa, or Peres, whatever we said, the whole reason why you have to have a date and a get to begin with, it would be that reason would that whole reason would be compromised if you could write the get on one date and sign it on a different one. Because the get is not going to be effective until it's signed anyway. So what is the Mishnah telling us? Only because you wrote a toifus for each one is there a problem? There's more than that. There's the problem of the date. You should know that this is what Rabbi Yochanan explained. The case is dichtivu b'chad b'shaba b'chad b'shaba. All of them bear the same date. They all say that it was Sunday, whatever the date is, chotei shvat or whatever. So there's no problem. The edim signed at the bottom. It's the same date for all five gittin. There's no problem where any of them is nichtiv b'yoyim and then signed the following night or the following day or what have you. The only potential issue then is the fact that since you have five separate gittin over there, each one beginning with its own date, Be'achah, Shabbos, whatever, then it makes it look like the Edim have only signed on the last one. Going back now to Rish Lakish, Amalei Ravin L'Ravashi, L'Rish Lakish, Domas Manech HaVakolam, let's revisit Rish Lakish's opinion that when we say that Zman Echa V'Kulon actually that would still be considered toifus, even if there's one date at the top, would still be considered that maybe the edim only signed on the bottom one. The only case that Rish Lakish would say the Mishnah considers acceptable with one set of signatures that you could just give it in turn to each of the women is where it just says the nusach is not even repeated. You just have that Reuven says to Leah and Shimon to Rachel and then so on and so forth. So you have one nusach and five sets of names in it. Yes, that's what Rish Lakish is saying is considered klal. So he says, Zman echa b'kol nami toifus havi. And he says, Vahechi Dami Klau, and he's saying that what would be considered Klau, that the Mishnah says one set of signatures automatically be no goes for all of them, is the problem with that is, Nimsu, Shtei Nashim, Mishgarshis, Mishgarshis, Beget Echad. In that case, doesn't it come out then they have two different women being divorced using the same get? Mele, if you say there's a separate Nusach written, well, five, whatever, mean two or more.
More than one.
Yeah. Mele, if you have a separate nusach for each one, then okay, you have at least each one can be, but here you have several, yeah, exactly, you have on such and such a date, I know Reuven Bar Shimon, said to my wife, Rochel Bas Lavan, and I, Shimon, said to my wife, Leah Bas, whatever, yeah, et cetera, yeah. That Torah, Amr V'Kotza B'Law, V'Loy Lo V'Loch Avita. Doesn't the Torah say that a get has to be written law specifically for her, not for her and another woman? So how does it? No, that's not because of the cost of who, it's because of the cost of law, that it has to be written for her, after for the woman, not for two different women. Just like, for example, one husband can't use one get to divorce two of his wives at the same time. He can't write, I'm not pointy by pointy, Shvakis of Taurus, etc., Rochel Bas Lavan and Leah Bas Tzalo. Well, the same thing. It doesn't work over here when you have different husbands. The answer is the harder cost of plenty gerish plenty to plenty gerish plenty. Yes, but what you're doing afterwards is further down in the shtar, you're saying, you're spelling out, you're saying you're spelling out over there. You're saying that Reuven is divorcing Rachel and Shimon is divorcing Leah, etc. No, so that's the thing. In other words, what you have is at the beginning, you see, you're doing one nusach that Reuven said to Rachel and Shimon said to Leah, etc., etc. Further down in the get, you're actually saying you're actually spelling out it separately that Reuven is divorcing Rachel and telling her I'm a terrible chaldam and Shimon is divorcing Leah and so forth. The point is that the Torah includes the words Harat Matar Sachadam.
That comes before this.
No, but you know, you have the names are repeated several times in the get. So like this, if you have the first time they're said, they're all jumbled together, and later on they're separated out, that's what Ursula Fisher is saying would be good. But the fact that they were all written together to begin with makes it, though, that it means the Adam knew that they're signing on all of them together when they sign at the bottom. In that case, then, why is it any different than a case that we had in a braisa earlier in our Masechta, in the whole sugya about avodim? A curse is called nechassim l'shnei avodim. If somebody writes a document giving away all his nechassim to his two slaves, kanu, then they acquire the nechassim together, or meshachrin zezeh. But each one needs to give a shtar shichru to the other one. Yeah. So, yeah, in other words, now the question is, well, the point of the question is, we learn the dinim of shtar shichur of avodim from the dinim of gittin. We have a gzeir shava of the two words law. By gittin, it's v'chafav law. By shichur, it's v'chuf shalimitan law. So if we're saying that by a get isha, you need a separate one for each one, then by avodim also, you need a separate one for each one. Yet here we seem to be saying, you have one shtar that says, I'm giving away all my nechassim to plony and plony, my avodim, and we say it works.
And even if there was two shtarim,
two shtaris we're going to say in a second, actually. Here we're assuming it's one shtar.
Okay.
It's one shtar. What it comes out, though, is we say each one becomes a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, because each one, half of him now belongs to himself. He owns half the nechassim, including half of himself. The other guy owns the other half of him, so each one is a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. Therefore, they need to free each other completely to be able to marry a bat Yisrael. So then, So isn't that similar to the case that the plenty and plenty of Reuven said to Rachel and Shimon said to Leah, etc. According to Rish Lakish, what is it? He starts off by saying, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar said to Rachel, Leah, Miriam, etc. Yeah. So, but then, later on, further down,
then you specify each couple
separately later. That's what it is. So now, when you're saying I'm giving a shtar, I'm giving all my nechasim to Pliny and Pliny my avadim, isn't that the same thing as saying Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar are divorcing Rachel, Leah, etc.? And we see it works. The answer is v'lavo kimim, v'shtei shtaris. We explain there in that sugya that we're actually talking about that there's two separate shtaris. If it was in one shtar, we said it wouldn't necessarily work because there's a shield, because each one you're leaving over some of the nechasim that you haven't given to him, and therefore he doesn't become a ben chorin. You need two separate shtaris where you gave the two shtaris at the same moment. And then that way, that's why each one of them becomes chetzi eved and chetzi ben chorin.
What's the point of making two shtaris in those things?
No, you're not. You write in each shtar. You write in each shtar. You write all my nechasim are going to Pliny. In one shtar, you write all my nechasim are going to Reuben, my eved. In the other shtar, you write all my nechasim are going to Shimon, my eved. You give the shtaris over at the same time. Therefore, neither one is acquiring before the other one. Therefore, each one becomes chetzi eved and chetzi ben chorin. So you see, you do need it. So it's not the same case. You do actually need them separately listed. So by the same token over here, you need them separately listed. Tanya Chavaseder of Yochanan, Tanya Chavaseder of Shlokish. Now, we have two braises, one according to Rav Yochanan, the other one according to Rav Shlokish. Understanding of our mission. Tanya Chavaseder of Yochanan goes like this. Hamisha Shekosu B'Secha Get, you have five people who write in a get, Ish Plenim, Garish Plenis, 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 Plenis. You have a separate set of, the names listed separately. With Nanecha B'Kulin, you have one date at the top, V'Edim L'Mata, and the Edim are on the bottom, Kulin K'Shedim, all of them are valid Gittin, V'Tinothim L'Cholachas Ha'achas, and this get, this Megillah has to be given to each one of them in turn in order for it to take effect for each one of them. But if you have a separate date on each one and the Edim are signed underneath, Estra Edim Nekremim Kosher, only the one that the Edim can be read together with, only the one that the Edim are directly below is the one that's Kosher. Again, without Edim Mesira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesira, Im Yesh Revach Beinem Possel, if there's space between the Gittin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesira says, then it's Possel, the rest of them, except for the last one, Vim Lav Kosher. If not, then it's kosher. Shein's man mafsikan. The date is not considered a separation. You need an actual space. Now, what do we mean by a space over here? The Ritva brings two possibilities. One is that it means a space in the simple sense. You have one get over here, a space of a couple of lines, and then another, and then the next one, etc., etc. The other is we mentioned before the difference between whether the parts of the get, the separate decorations over there are tied together with a vav or not. A space over here might mean, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesira is making the same distinction we said before as far as the lack of a vav. If you write in the get that Reuven says that Reuven is divorcing Rachel, then you write Shimon is divorcing Leah, not necessarily when the Edom sign at the bottom, are they signing on all of them? Whereas if you write Reuven is divorcing Rachel and Shimon is divorcing Leah, and ties it all together, similar to the Rishal of Shalom. So after the Ritva says the two possibilities over here, what we mean by space? Do we mean the lack of a vav, or do we mean actual heart? Do we mean actual vertical space between one get and the next?
And it's the lack of a vav.
Well, according to the first way of looking at it, yes, lack of the vav. According to the second one, it doesn't matter the vav or not. It's a matter of do you actually have space between yes.
Space is just a blank line or two.
A blank line. Okay, so anyway, this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Yochanan because we see the Braisa, the Tanakama, and the Braisa is distinguishing between whether there's one date at the top or separate dates for each one, which is exactly the distinction Rabbi Yochanan said. Tanya Kava said to the Shlokish, Chamisha Shekotzvu Klal B'Secha Get, if you have five people who write generically in the Get, Onu Plony, Plony, Girash, and Shesen, Plonis, Plonis, and later on you specify in detail Plony, Girash, Plonis, Plony, Girash, Plonis, because again, we said otherwise it doesn't work because of a cost of law, was manecha b'kulon, and there's one date at the top, v'edim elamata, and the edim are at bottom, kulon k'sherim, then all of these gittin are kosher, it's nosim l'chalachas v'achat, they just have to be given to each woman in turn. On the other hand, zman l'chalachat v'achat, but if you have a date separately for each one, v'revach l'chalachat v'achat, if there's a space for each one, v'edim elamata, then only estra edim nekorenim are kosher, then only the one that the edim are read together with it is kosher.
Which is the lowest one,
yeah. Rav Meir says that just the fact that each one has a separate date, even if there's no space between them, it still makes it possible. The very fact that each one has a separate date makes it a unit unto itself. And you can't assume the Edim signed on all of them. According to the Shlokish, what is the Braisa saying that only because there's Zman Acha B'Kulon, only because there's one date at the top, a separate date for each one, rather, are you saying that it's no good, that only the last one is good? Didn't Rish Lakish say it doesn't matter whether there's one day or not? It matters whether you started out by saying Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. So according to him, who cares whether, yeah? Yeah. The answer is, Hanimila Hecha Deloy Arvinu Meikara. There's a difference, Rish Lakish would say, and Rabbi Yochanan also agrees, that's what we said before, that there's a difference whether you combine them all together in the first place. Did you start by saying the five husbands and the five wives together without specifying which one is married to which one? So then, if you didn't do that, then then only if you separate them with a separate date for each one is it considered a real separation. In other words, if you started out like that, if you started Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, all the husbands, all the wives, but then afterwards, when you get to the specific part that Reuben said to Rachel, Hariat Materis HaKaladam, and so if at that point you put separate dates, that'll be enough to divide it. No, that'll be enough to divide it up. If you don't put that combination of the five men and five women's names together at the beginning, then even if there's no separate date, it's still considered separate gittin. That's what he says. The only way for it to be considered one big get, where one set of signatures goes for all of them, is where you have the names at the beginning.
So if you have all the husbands at the beginning, in this case, says what? You have all the names of the husband at the beginning and then all the wives, and then individually you correlate the husband and the wives?
So then the difference is if you have what the Braisa is telling us is, even though, so you started out with all the names of the husbands and all the names of the wives without specifying, so you would think that should be good based on what we're saying before.
Right.
However, if later on, further down in the get, you separated them with dates, you afterwards wrote a separate date, you wrote a separate date for each one, then it'll still be back to being considered tofus, and it'll be separated gittin, and you'll need a separate set. You don't know which one the edim go to. So if you didn't mix them to begin with, if you didn't put all the 10 names at the top, then even doesn't matter whether the separate name, whether the separate date or not, each one is still considered a get of its own, according to Rish Lakish. But when you mix them all together to begin with, when you first put all the 10 names at the beginning, and later on you're mentioning the five couples individually, if you divide them up with the dates, by putting a separate date for each one, then they're considered separate. And if not, then not. Meaning that then it would be good. Then it would be good with one set of signatures, all five of them would be good.
The dates
do make a difference, according to Rish Lakish.
Even the same date.
We're talking about the same date, because otherwise you have a different problem of it being signed on a different date. But yeah. In other words, according to Rish Lakish, what you need is, in order for one set of signatures to be good for it, you need two things. You need that all the names are written at the beginning, and you need that later on, further down in the get, where you're specifying which husband is divorcing which wife, that you don't put a separate date for each one of them.
According to Rabbi Yochanan,
you don't need to put the group of people at the top. You still have a separate nusach for each one. But as long as you have one date at the top and you have each one is tied to the next one with a vav, then you're good. Then you're good. Yeah. Mishnah says, Shnei Gittin Shukah. The halacha that Rabbi Yochanan usually is. It seems that the Rambam holds that Rish Lakish's scenario, where you have all of them mentioned at the beginning, actually would be valid according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that Klal is even, because considered even you have a separate nusach for each one, you just have one date at the top, he would agree. The Rambam seems to hold that Rabbi Yochanan would agree that Rish Lakish's scenario of Klal is certainly good. And therefore, that, yes. Rabbi Yochanan would say, and therefore, since halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, then that becomes halacha as well. Mishnah says, Shnei gittin shekosman zeb tzadzeh. If you have two gittin written, before we were talking about gittin written below each other. Now we're talking about the gittin written next to each other on a wide piece of parchment. Now, for background, we're going to need to know the next Mishnah tells us that that you can write a get in any language in principle, and also the agent can sign in any language.
Okay.
Yes. And now you also have in different languages they sign their names in different ways. In particular, in Lashon Kodesh, we know a person signs Reuven ben Yaakov Eid. In Greek, which is what we're going to be discussing, in Yid who signs in Greek is going to be signing a different way. So there's a few different explanations in Rishonim what the difference is between Ivri and Yevani in this case. Rashi says that it's not a matter of the actual words they use, but how we understand them. If a Yid from Greece, or a Greek-speaking Yid, writes Reuven ben Yaakov, he doesn't really mean Reuven, the son of Yaakov. He means on the contrary. He means Reuven, whose son is Yaakov. Reuven,
not someone,
I don't know if the son's necessarily a claim to fame, but it means, in other words, you put it in that way, you put it that
Reuven is the father, then?
No, it means, in other words, Rashi's example, Yosef ben Shimon, whatever. It really means Yosef ben Shimon is really supposed to, the syntax of the language is that it means Yosef, it really means Yosef, whose son is Shimon.
Yosef ben Shimon
really means Yosef, whose son is Shimon. Meaning of it that Shimon is the son and Yosef is the father. The opposite of what it means in Lashon Kodesh. There are other Rishonim who learn that there is a slight change in the word.
That means Shimon is really actually the one, or Shimon.
Well, that's what we're going to discuss. Uh-huh. But the other Rishonim have a different explanation of it. They say that if you were writing in Greek style, we don't mean in the Greek language, but we mean the Greek style. Instead of using the word ben, you'd use the word benoi. Or something similar to it. We have that kind of style in a few places in the Torah, actually. Bilam b'nei ba'er, for example, doesn't mean Bilam, whose son is ba'er, at least according to the Pshat level. Rashi says it means that ba'er was a lesser Navi than Bilam, but whatever. Anyway, on the simple meaning, it means Bilam, Bilam b'nei ba'er means, it's not exactly the same thing. Bilam ben ba'er would mean Bilam, the son of ba'er. Bilam benoi ba'er would have to mean ba'er who is the son of Bilam.
So in other words,
according to those who've shown him, if you have in the scenario over here, if you have Yosef ben Shimon, means exactly what it sounds like. Yosef is the son of Shimon. But if you write Yosef benoi Shimon, it means Yosef whose son is Shimon. And then the Rambam has a third explanation, which is that Yevani here means exactly what it sounds like. They're writing in Greek. In Greek, you write left to right. In Lashon Kodesh, you write right to left. So therefore, in Greek, if you write Yosef ben Shimon, you're going to be putting Yosef ben Shimon, as opposed to in Hebrew, you'd be putting Yosef ben Shimon. Okay. So now for the Mishnah. Oh, come on. I mean, that's, different languages, different rules. Okay. Shnei gittin shchasim zeh zeh. Hu shnayim edim ivrim boin v'tachas zeh l'tachas zeh. So you have two edim who signed in Hebrew style, as the case may be, are going across from under one get to under the other. So in other words, you have get number one, get number two, and it says, for example, Reuven ben Yaakov Eid, across the full width, across both pages, and you have another one like that. And you have two Edim signed in Greek, or Greek style. But, well, according to the Rambam, it would actually be going the other way around. According to Rashi and the other Rishonim, it's still going in the same order of right to left, but it has a different meaning. They're signing Yosef ben Shimon, meaning not Yosef the son of Shimon, but Yosef the father of Shimon, as the case may be. Yosef, whose son is Shimon, whatever, yeah.
Really, so Yosef ben Shimon, according to Rashi, would really mean Shimon ben Yosef.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, and Yevani, yeah. Etsha Edim Rishonim Nikroin Imei Kosher. So the one that the first Edim can be read together with it, meaning the one that whichever get the Edim are directly underneath is the one that's kosher. So in other words, if the ones who are signed in Hebrew style are at the top, then the get on the right is valid because that's the one that has the signatures underneath it. The other one wouldn't be, because the signatures, for reasons which we'll discuss in the Gemara, it's going to get a little complicated, but we can't assume that the signatures are also referring, that the top two signatures are also referring to this get. They may be only referring to this one. And if the top two signatures are the Yevani one, it would be the other way around. The one on the left would be the good one.
top two signatures away on top of it?
You have four signatures, one below the other.
Yeah.
Two of them are Ivri, two of them are Yivani.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So if the top two are Ivri, then you're good. Then the right hand, then the right hand one is good, but the left hand one is not.
And if
the top two are Yivani, then it's the other way around.
Then
it refers to the left because it goes from right to from left to right. Yeah. What if you have Hebrew, Greek, Hebrew, Greek? Then, Shneim Tzulim, both Yitin Apostle. Again, for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Let's wait and see. So Gemara asks, V'lefkasher Haibir Ruben b'Haibir Ben Yaakov A. Why are you saying that only the, for example, with Hebrew signatures, you're saying that only the right-hand side get is valid? You have, it goes, of course, Reuven, Ben, Yaakov, Eid. Why don't you just have Reuven is the signature on the right hand yet, and Ben, Yaakov, Eid is the signature on the left hand. Dehotnam, you learn in the next Mishnah. Ben, Ish, Ploini, Eid, Kosher. If you only write that, if you don't write your own name, you only write Ben, Ploini, Eid, then it's also Kosher. So Ben, Yaakov, Eid is a perfectly valid, chasima. Yeah. The answer is because of Reuven, Ben, Akam, of Yaakov, Eid, Abasra. Okay, but the case would be, for example, that Tosfos, by the way, points out, the Mishnah does tell us over there that at least even if you're writing your own name, you do need the word aid. So therefore, if you write Reuven over here, you would have to write Reuven aid. So how is the Gemara assuming it's okay if you only have Reuven over here? The answer is, Tosfos says, because since the rest of the line does say Ben Yaakov aid, you can use the word aid to refer back to Reuven as well. You can't can be the equivalent. Mela, if you only
can refer to either one.
Mela, if you only wrote Reuven, you didn't write Ben Ploini, and you didn't write Aid, then you have a problem. But if you have Reuven, Ben Yaakov Aid, and you know that it all that it's obvious that it's meant as a continuation, then you would be able to say that the Aid from here can go to here. Okay, but it's still you can work that way. Okay. Anyway. The answer is the cause of Reuven, then Akam of Yaakov Aid Abasra. Yes, but the case would be, for example, what if you wrote the word Reuven Ben underneath the first yet, and Yaakov Aid underneath the second. So Reuven Ben, fine. It means Reuven, the son of somebody. Reuven, the son of somebody. Now actually, Rashi says no. At this point, we would assume. Well, the Gemara is going to say in a second that Reuven Ben maybe means I'm the son of Reuven. But right now, without even getting into that, let's say, fine, Reuven Ben, right, again, the problem is you have Reuven Ben, you have Yaakov Aid, so Reuven Ben is not a valid signature. He's not Reuven Ben, he's Reuven himself. Yeah. The question is, will the Skasha High be Reuven Ben, will the Skasha High be Yaakov Aid? Fine, what's the problem? Why can't you be make a get kosher with Reuven Ben and the other one be kosher with Yaakov Aid? That's not Ish Ploini Aid kosher. We learn in the next mission that if you just write Ploini Aid kosher, so the left hand side one will have Yaakov Aid, which is fine. The first one, fine. Let's assume Reuven Ben is meant in the Greek sense. It doesn't mean Reuven the son of some unknown person. It means the son of Reuven. Fine. Let's assume then that Yaakov is the son of Reuven. Let's assume, in other words, the guy signed in Greek style Yaakov Aid. Reuven Ben Yaakov Aid, meaning Yaakov, who is the son of Reuven, is signing as an aid. So fine, on this side he's signing as Yaakov Aid. On this side he's signing as Reuven Ben, which in Greek style really means Ben Reuven, and you're good. The answer is Deloitte cost of aid. Yes, but you could have the case where he didn't write aid. If he only wrote Reuven Ben Yaakov,
if aid, it would be okay.
Yes, that's what we're assuming at this point, because then you could understand it in that way. But if you don't have the
half of the phrase is in Greek.
No. The whole again, according to Rashi, the whole thing is written in Ivri. It's just a question of how it's meant to be interpreted.
You interpret part of the phrase in Greek and the other one.
You're not. You're saying Yaakov aid means I Yaakov. I'm signing as an aid, and the other you're explaining the whole thing in Greek style. You're explaining that it means Yaakov aid. If you put the whole thing together, Reuven Ben Yaakov aid, it would mean Yaakov, the son of Reuven, is signing as an aid. You break it up into two parts, fine, the same thing. It's two different ways of signing. Yaakov Aid and Reuven Ben, meaning the son of Reuven. But the answer is, if you don't write Aid, that whole thing falls apart. Because then on one side, fine, you have Reuven Ben, which can be considered, the other side you only have Yaakov. Yeah.
No Aid.
No Aid, yeah. The Ibo is same, huh? Or another possibility, la'olam dekasav of aid, you could have, let's say even he wrote the word aid. The problem is, but we recognize the signature that it doesn't belong to Yaakov. We recognize the handwriting that belongs to a son of Yaakov. So then, we can't assume that Yaakov aid means I, Yaakov, am signing as an aid, because we know it's not Yaakov's handwriting. Same thing, Reuben Ben can't possibly mean Yaakov, who is the son of Reuben, because it's in Yaakov's handwriting.
So if one of the handwriting is not good...
No, we're assuming the same person, obviously, I mean, it's one signature going across. It's obvious the same person wrote the whole thing. But if we recognize that this signature is not Yaakov's, then the whole thing doesn't work. Tosus points out, for example, we could be talking about this scenario, could be in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need Bufana Nechta, Bufana Nechtam, so if nobody comes and objects, then we can accept it as a valid signature, or we could even have Bufana Nechta, Bufana Nechtam, whatever, yeah. Okay, next question, we're dealing with Shmadav Wachasin. Fine, how about another possibility? Maybe really let's say that it is, in fact, Reuben's signature. He wrote Reuben Ben over here. He wrote Yaakov Aid over here. Still, why can't we say Yaakov Aid is a valid signature of Reuben because he's signing in his father's name?
Yaakov's signature is a valid...
Why don't we say that Yaakov Aid is valid, even though we know it's not Yaakov's handwriting, we recognize it's not. However, we can assume it's Reuben, Yaakov's son, signing on behalf... he's signing using his father's name.
How can you sign...
Well, that's what we're assuming. But the answer is no. Lo shavik in a shnei b'chasim shma davu. No, a person doesn't abandon his own name and write only his father's name. To write Ben Yaakov, fine, that a person might do. But to write just Yaakov instead of his own name, Reuben, that he's not going to do.
That's
forging per se. I don't know if
he's Reuben and he's not Yaakov. What is it?
No, okay, but we could say that he's using his father's name as if it was his own. But a person doesn't do that. A person might write Ben his father's name and again. Okay. Next, we're dealing with Simona Shavye. Fine, how about another possibility? Maybe he's using his father's name as a simon. He's not signing using his own name. He's signing using a symbol. A symbol instead of a signature. A personal mark, basically. Yeah. Dar Rav Taya Kavra, just like we had this earlier in the Sefer, Rav used to sign things with a picture of a fish. Rav Chanina Charusa, Ray. Rav Chanina Charusa, Rav Chanina would use as a branch of a palm tree, as a draw a picture of that as a signature. Rav Chista Samach Rav Hoshi Ayin, Rav Chista would use a Samach, Rav Hoshi would use an Ayin. We mentioned over there also Rav Yaakov Emden gives symbolic reasons for each of these. The Rashbam actually in Baba Basra, this Gemara is also in Baba Basra, the Rashbam says there's no sense, he says, in trying to find reasons for all of these. Maybe each one used it because it had some special meaning to him. Rav used a fish because he liked to eat fish on Shabbos. Rav Chisti used a Samach because the letter from his name, etc. Okay, so anyway, it's about the same. And one more. Rav Bar Rav Hona Tzayer Makusa, and Rav Bar Rav Hona would draw a sail of a ship, a mast with a sail on it. So we see you don't have to sign with your own name. Maybe he's signing, yes, it reads as the word Yaakov, but maybe he means it as the symbol for himself, as his own personal symbol.
Without any method?
Yes, that's what we're saying. Now, Tosus points out that really in that Gemara, when we discussed it, we said that they didn't originally start by signing official documents with these things. First, they used these things on personal letters or whatnot, till it became well known that this is their seal. And then after that, they could start using it on official documents. How can we assume over here without any evidence that Reuben is using the letters Yud Ayin Kuf Beis as his, without knowing? Tosus says the reason is because the fact is you do have his name under the first get. So there's a very strong reason to think, since we know, we can see it's all the same handwriting, we should logically assume that he signed the first one Reuben Ben, meaning Reuben Ben without specifying my father's name, and the other one he decides to use a symbol. We can assume it all comes from the same person, and therefore both gittin should be valid. The answer is, though, a person would not be so chutzpidik as to use his father's name as his personal symbol. Yeah, okay.
In other words, it means that he could use somebody else's name?
Again, we're not saying to forge something. We're saying to use it as his personal symbol. Yeah, he might. But not. In other words, it happens to be letters that spell out somebody's name, but he's not using it as that. He's just using it as like a personal mark. Okay, next. Now, we have the case, going back to the Mishnah. Okay, so what are we saying? We're saying that altogether you have four signatures under this get. Two Ivri, two Yevani. Again, according to Rashi, the Yevani ones are going in the same direction as the Ivri. According to the Rambam, they're written in the opposite direction. you're saying only the one with the top two signatures is valid. So if the top two signatures are the Hebrew ones and the right hand is valid, if the top two ones are the Greek ones and the left hand one is valid, the question is, why don't you just say that each get is kosher with the two edim that go in its respective direction? Let the top get be valid with the two edim ivrim, for example. Let the right hand get be valid with the two edim ivrim. Let the left hand one be valid with the two edim ivrim, and you're all good. Ditznan, as in fact we learn in the next mission, a get shekosu ivris ve'edim yivonis. If you write a get in Hebrew and the edim are signed in Greek, yivonis ve'edim ivris. So if it's written in Greek and signed in Hebrew, kosher. So the signature, the language of the signature doesn't have to match the language of the get. So you might argue, we know in general the signatures are not allowed to be more than two lines below the body of the shtar, because then there's the possibility that somebody might add text in there as a full
like
sheet. Two lines of the size script that's used for the writing of the shtar, for the signature. Actually, that's what Gemara says in Brother Baster. No, well, for any kind of shtar. This din about the two lines is true of any shtar.
Yeah, but two lines.
If I remember correctly, the halacha is the size of the writing that the edim themselves sign their signatures with. The edim themselves are not such expert sofrim to be able to write small letters. They tend to write larger letters, so therefore if you have two lines of that size between those, then it would make a puzzle, because we're afraid it might be forged. But so over here, you could argue, okay, you have Ivri, Yevoni. So what are you going to have then? You have the Yevoni signatures on more than two lines separated from the left-hand get. The thing is, what's the problem with that? Chizkia says that if you have a space like that and you fill it in using signatures of even relatives or apostle leaders, it's kosher because there's no possibility of adding anything there in that space that's now taken up by signatures. So as long as... even if it's relatives, No, meaning it was like this. A regular shtar, forget about a get for a second. A regular shtar, the body of the shtar ends here, the signatures are down here. You're saying it's possible because somebody could easily write in a few more lines over here. What do you do, Chizki is saying? Fill up that space with signatures. Get people to fill in their signatures over there, anybody, even Kraven. And then it's fine, so then there's no possibility of forgery. As long as two of the edim are kosher, then you're good. So the same thing over here. You have two edim ivrim, two edim yevonim. So what if the edim yevonim are far away from the left hand get? You still have signatures above them. There's no possibility for them.
They could be mistaken for edim.
They are edim. No, we're not worried about that because we're not worried about that. But over here, all four people are kosher edim. So what's the problem? The answer is, Hatani Ziri, Shneim Kshirim. Yes, you should know. As a matter of fact, Ziri had a version of the Mishnah, a version of the Brais or whatever, that taught that actually both get in our kosher, for that reason. Okay, you might ask. With the space filled. In other words, two Adim Ivrim, two Adim Yevonim, then it's good, because each one has its own set of Adim. So you're good. Okay, the Tana Nidan, so what would our Tana say? The fact is, our Tana does not have Ziri's version. Why would he say only one is kosher and the other is possible? Because Dilma Gundalis Chosim, because you have to be concerned that maybe they signed Gundalis. Did we ever even have the word Gundalis? Gundalis means basically backwards. It means, in other words, like this. So Rashi explains it like this. Let's say, for example, you have, so the two Adam Ibrahim sign, Reuben ben Yaakov, Shimon ben whatever. Now the Adam Yevonim comes and starts signing. He has two signatures above him that are written in Hebrew style, where Reuben ben Yaakov means Reuben the son of Yaakov. He has the first two signatures are written that way. Now the Ed Yevoni comes to do the third signature.
Right.
He may change his normal way of doing things to match the signatures above him. He may figure, look, if the first signature is Reuben ben Yaakov, meaning Reuben the son of Yaakov, I would normally write Reuben ben Yaakov to mean the other way around, Yaakov who is the son of Reuben. Instead, to match the signatures above me, I'm going to do backwards. It's going to be confusing, but the point is, then the signature is no good. We know that we afterwards go and find out that it's the signature of Yehuda ben Yisachar, but it's written Yisachar ben Yehuda. Or whatever, it's written Yehuda ben Yisachar, and we think that it's meant to be read in Greek style, which would be Yisachar, which would mean Yisachar ben Yehuda, and it's not.
Well, the Sefer is there one telling it to write
maybe he will, maybe he won't. The sofer is not necessarily there when the edim sign it. But that's maybe gundalus chosin. Maybe they sign backwards. So then, what do you have? So then, then what would it come out? That all four edim are signing the one get, and there's no edim on the second get. Because what are you going to have? Again, the two edim ivrim sign normally. They sign on the right hand get. The two edim yavodim, instead of doing from left to right as they normally would, instead of doing backwards and doing from right to left in order to match the signatures above them. So that's the thing. Then it could come out that you have four signatures on the one get and none on the other. Therefore, what we have to do is we have to look at the top two signatures and see what style those are in. If the top two signatures are Ivri style, then we know they belong to the right-hand get. If the top two signatures are Yuvani style, we know they belong to the left-hand get. And the ones below it, we have to be concerned. The Tanna says that Gundel is chosin, and therefore that they're no good. Well, that's the conclusion. Zairi argues with that. Zairi's version of the Mishnah said that not, that both of them will be kosher. But our Tana is taking that view. And we'll continue tomorrow. Tlos Achad is the next one. Tlos Achad is the next one. Yeah, that's the next case, which ordinarily would continue, but it's out of time, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem.